Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Carlo Barone of WCBI Sports. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Carlo Barone here with you on a Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. If you're not in Starkville or Tupelo, not a problem. Just go to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com, get it delivered right to your door. You can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. You all right over there?
Yeah, I just didn't even have the mic adjusted. It was like all the way over here.
Got to speak into the mic.
So yeah, I got it. Our rule.
The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that
beef.
It is what's for dinner. We're having beef at the Haydad household tonight for dinner. We're having Philly cheesesteak garlic bread. Very excited.
That sounds wonderful.
It's really good. It's super easy to make. Even you could do it.
Even I could do
yeah.
it. Yeah. Okay.
If you can cook beef, you can make.
It's funny. I actually made a steak yesterday.
Well, there you go. Then you could do this.
That's. I still have. I had two.
So. Yeah. So beef was what was for dinner for you last
beef was what was for like 11 a.m. dinner. Yes.
11 a.m. dinner.
Yeah. I came right from this podcast.
Uh-huh.
And oh wait, no, I did it before this podcast.
Yeah.
And
that's in the South. We call that lunch.
Yeah, we do too. I was kind of making a play on the dinner.
Beef could be what's for lunch. Yeah, it could be for breakfast.
Yeah. It was for something.
I'm just saying. Yeah. Three squares a day. You can get beef.
Yeah, it was good. Whoa.
What?
Nothing. Just.
What?
You said three squares a day you can get beef.
Yeah, three squares a day. Do you know what squares are?
Yeah.
Three square meals?
Yes.
Okay. So why is that? Why does that get a pause?
I didn't say pause. I just said
what? You gave it a thought. You thought about it.
I just said what?
Thought about hitting the pause button.
No, no pause button hit.
Okay. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi, or lunch or breakfast. Thanks to our friends, the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. Everything maroon and white, everything is at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet, filled by the Half Shell. Or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Whatever you're looking for, Mississippi State, for your home, for your car, for your tailgate, for your office, whatever it is, they've got it at College Corner. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when we have questions about your money, you need answers. You need to talk to someone who knows the answers, someone who knows you, someone who's going to treat you with respect and give you the level of service that you deserve. That's a banker at Priority One Bank. If you live in Central Mississippi, you live near a Priority One Bank location. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. A little later in the show, Wilson Alexander of On3 Sports is going to join us. He's joined us many times in the past when he was covering the LSU Tigers, now a national college football writer for On3. He was at the Manning Passing Academy, so we're going to get a little bit more insight into what he saw from Kamario Taylor there. Plus, we'll just talk some regular college football stuff as well. But we will start on the Mississippi State side of things here, where I don't really know what to call this series that we're doing here. I just want to go a little further in depth on each position, more on the starter than anything else. And so we're going to talk about Fluff Bothwell today. And that's a guy who I think has the tools to be a top back in this league. You know, this is a really good year for running backs in the SEC. You've got two of the best in the country. You probably have the two best running backs in the country.
I agree.
And Kewon Lacy at Ole Miss and Ahmad Hardy at
Missouri.
Yes, at Missouri. So it's a year where it's not going to be a shame. You're not going to be ashamed if you're the second or third team all SEC running back. You're going to be behind some real stars there. But Bothwell, showed a lot in his first year at Mississippi State. Obviously, the injury, I think, affected him the rest of the year, as did the poor play on the offensive line. And it's kind of – we talk so much about Kamario in the offensive line. We don't talk enough, I don't think, about Fluff Bothwell in the offensive line, because that's a guy, if he can get some blocking – can make people miss, can do some things in the open field, but also has the ability to break tackles and be a short yardage back as well. I think he's a very complete back. I think he can be a positive in the passing game. I say that, and the first thing I think of when I think of that is the Egg Bowl, and where he has the ball where he's just wide open and it deflects off
Yeah,
his
but
hands.
that's only one
It's one
play.
play, but it's the first thing that I go to.
Yeah.
I really like Fluff Bothwell. I think I don't think State is going to make him a feature back. I don't think he's going to get 225 carries for 1,200 yards or anything like that. But can he be a guy, if we're going to count on 500 to 600 yards rushing from Kamario, can I get 700 to 800 yards rushing from Fluff Bothwell? I think I can. I think this offense gives him that opportunity. Depends on the line, as we said, but I think Mississippi State is in a pretty good spot with Fluff. If you tell me Fluff Bothwell is their lead back and you get 12 full games out of him, I feel really good about the production they're going to get.
And you have to think this year, it's not playing with a quarterback that can't run. It's playing with a quarterback
Should
that
help.
can run. So I think it's going to be a completely different, season and how they're going to, I mean, there's no denying that defenses are going to attack Mississippi State completely differently than the way they did last year, just because Blake Chapin really couldn't move very well. But now you've got a quarterback that can. I think that's going to open up opportunities for Bothwell. And going back to, when he was recruited out of South Alabama here, it was a pretty big deal when he got here, just what he could do and his potential. And like you mentioned, I think that injury at A&M kind of derailed his season a little bit. I mean, he missed a lot of time, but then when he came back, he didn't necessarily look like he had the same first step. But
Very
I
true.
think as the full off season with, he's no question the lead back here. It was him and Booth last year, but now it's really him and a bunch of young guys behind him. I think not only is he going to be a leader on the field, but also leading the room as well. I think he's got the tools to be very good this year and have a big year. And he's not going to get the Kiwan Lacy carries the number where it's just every single game you're getting 20 plus,
Right.
but he's going to serve in a role where he's going to have quality touches that are going to give him space in the open field, and he's going to have a couple really good games this year, I would imagine, both running and catching the football, just because of the skill set he has. And now he's worked a year with Lebby as well, so they kind of know what he does, good, and what stuff maybe he can work on.
So when you look at, we did the thing the other day with Kamario and then kind of aggregated out what Lebby has done with the
Yeah.
quarterback position. When you look at the running back position, it's a little different in that he is almost exclusively gone by committee. So I'm looking at here, Central Florida, the one year he was the OC there, they had five different players with 87 or more carries. They really split it up. Incredibly, they had three guys with 87 carries. That's interesting. At Ole Miss, obviously there was a committee each year. They were there. It was Jerrion Ealy and Snoop Connor. They added Henry Parrish to that. The last year that Lebby was there. Then you go into his time at Oklahoma, and although he did have one guy, Eric Gray, this is the only guy under Jeff Lebby to ever rush for 1,000 yards as a running back. He had 213 carries for 1,368 yards. Was really good running back for them. But two other guys, including Dylan Gabriel, so but if just in terms of running backs, they had three guys with 56 or more carries. Javonte Barnes had 116 carries. Marcus Major had 56 for them. The next year, 2023, 120 carries for Gavin Sawchuk, 102 carries for Tywee Walker. 78 carries for Marcus Major. They combined for about 1,600 yards rushing and another 93 carries out of the quarterback position. If I get 93 carries this year out of Kamario, which I assume I will,
Yeah, we will.
we?
As the people watching the games,
We're
we will
supporting
watch
him.
it.
He's what
No,
we're.
we're not.
Hey,
I'm not. I'm not asking we in press conferences. That's.
that's a good man.
I'm not
But
there
it,
yet.
Dylan Gabriel rushed for 373 yards on 93 carries. I would be willing to add 200 yards to that right now for Kamario Taylor.
I
If
would
you're
agree.
closer to 600 yards rushing. So as I was saying though, with Lebby, it's always been by committee. So the committee is what we don't know for Mississippi State at the running back position. We don't know what the committee is. We've heard Colin Wilson, was a name that Lebby talked about in spring practice that he was interested in. I think we've heard a lot about the two freshmen, J.J. Hill and Cooper Crosby. Xavier Gayton is still kind of there. You know, Robbie did an interview with him the other day and listed him as a running back, and I was kind of surprised, to be honest with you. I thought maybe they would make the move to defensive back or something, but he had a great opportunity last year and really failed to take advantage of it. The committee is what we don't know. All we know is kind of like the chairman of the board here, and that's Fluff Bothwell. So the average leading rusher under Lebby is around 700 yards, except for the 1 year with Gray. I think going same thing. If you told me right now, I got 700 and let's say 50 yards rushing out of Fluff Bothwell, I'm going to be absolutely happy with that. I think that's a good number to that's a good reasonable expectation number for Fluff Bothwell in 2026.
I would agree. I think with the history of what you just described with the committee and also how deep the running back room is, like I feel like a lot of those guys, I don't want to say all five of them, but I would imagine three of them probably get significant playing time throughout the year, depending on kind of, you know, who's
how
hot,
it's how it settles
how
out.
It's going. Yeah. I would imagine the freshmen probably don't play much at the beginning, but as the year goes on, that maybe they earn some more time. But yeah, if you can get 700, 800 yards out of Fluff Bothwell, that puts him in the average of just about every other lead tailback that he's had. And another thing about Levy's offense is he loves to throw those quick screens the outside that are basically the run plays, but they're pass plays.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? So a lot of those kind of get skewed and taken away. So if you imagine that he would run the ball on those plays, maybe those numbers would be a little bit better. But I don't really think it's about the numbers for him, and I don't really think that was the appeal either for Fluff Bothwell and these other guys who came in the portal, because if you know look at the stats like that, it's like, oh, a running back's not going to succeed here as more as you know other places, but I don't really think that's the approach. I think the, you know, keeping the plays different at the line and guessing and the RPOs, that's really the approach that Lebby sold these guys. And I think that's a realistic expectation. And I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, maybe that number is a little bit down just because the running back room is so deep. But again, we know the top, we don't know anything else. So
yeah,
who knows?
I so you say that because yeah, that the number could be a little higher. I don't know. I if he's around 800, 900 yards rushing.
I was saying lower.
Are you saying lower?
Because, yeah.
See, I disagree there. I think that I would be. I would think it has a much better chance to be higher because maybe you get into the season, you're like, I really don't trust any of these guys. I don't, you know, Colin Wilson's not.
A lot of this also will depend on Camario's development as a passer as well.
And that's another thing to consider is maybe in the first few games, they want to get him a little more comfortable. They're just like, let's just go run heavy. Should be able to run the football in ULM very easily. Quite honestly, against the Minnesota team that's not at the top of the Big Ten, you should be able to run the football on them as well. And so, you know, it wouldn't be surprised if in both of those games, Fluff is closer to 20 carries than maybe he is for the rest of the season. Let me see a carry breakdown here if I can get one. So,
what's his yards per carry?
I mean, you want him between 5.5, 6.5, I would think.
No, but like, what was he last year?
What was it last year? I'll have to look that. Why would you ask me a question I wasn't prepared to answer?
Well, you're already on the computer anyway.
I mean, I'll guess, you know. I'm just saying. Let's see here. Need the stats. What I was trying to look at was like a breakdown of carries for the last year he was at Oklahoma. So last year, Fluff averaged 4.8. I need about another yard. I need another yard.
So, yeah, but that's with the injury. That's not a bad spot for you. Also, you got to think transition from where I don't even know what conference is Southern Alabama. Is that Sun Belt?
South Alabama is the Sun Belt.
Sun Belt to SEC. That's a big difference.
It's a big difference. He was averaging out, I think, what, 8 yards a carry.
Yeah, I mean, that was never sustainable.
Yeah, he averaged 7.5 a carry. Yeah,
that's just not sustainable.
It's probably not. I mean, you said that. What did Kiwon Lacy average a carry?
Well, yeah, but then you.
Well, I mean, don't. Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying.
Right off. Yeah, but one guy. Out of what, 60 running backs in the SEC?
Well, now you got me wondering what the how many guys were over 5.5.
I'm never going to get off that computer.
Yeah, I know.
What did Lacy average last year? I'm genuinely curious now. He got a lot of
last year. Kiwon Lacy averaged 6.1. No, that's catches. 5.1.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not bad. I mean, 306 carries though.
Yeah.
That's a boatload of carries.
We asked him at the end of the year, like, how he feels. And he's like, I feel fine. And kind of gave us a wink. I mean, the guy's body took a beating.
Yeah.
especially when he got hurt in the last couple of games. Yeah, I think Bothwell could go over, but I mean, we just don't know how that running back room's set up and how much by committee he's going to be when I don't, again, I can't really speak on the other years that Levy was at different schools, but it just seems like Bothwell is so far ahead as the lead back. Booth wasn't like that last year with Bothwell as the tandem. He's just so far ahead as the lead back, so maybe that number could get inflated a little bit.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it. Here, the game log. Here we go. So, this is not helpful. I was just trying to get an idea of how many, how many carries they average per game. So, I don't know. I feel all in all, I feel good about Bothwell. I feel good about the talent in the room, especially the two freshmen. I think Hill, I thought he was SEC ready as a junior in high school, just from a physical standpoint. And Crosby, everybody, I've heard a lot of people raving about him. I think they have a lot of potential. Colin Wilson is a guy that, he does something different. He's if you want to do a thunder and lightning kind of thing, you've got Bothwell as kind of the in between the tackles guy, and Wilson can be the guy who gets out on the perimeter a little bit more, maybe gives you a little bit more in the passing game. But if you're going to build around Bothwell, I feel very good about State's ability to do that. I feel like this is going to be a really good rushing team, specifically because they have a quarterback that you
Yeah.
have to account for in the rushing
They'll
game.
definitely be very, very good.
And I also feel that, the offensive line is going to be improved.
Please, Ryan.
It's not on
I
me.
really hope it's better
It's not
because
on me. I don't
I
have.
know. I just really hope it's better,
I mean,
man.
I'll do everything I can.
I think it's the X factor. Well, I think it's the X factor of the season, to be
Yeah.
frank. Like,
Well, yeah, 100%. If they're not better, then all of this is for naught.
yeah, you
Kamara's
could
going to run
have.
for his life, and it's. But if they and I said it a few weeks ago, and I'll say it again now, I don't need that all-time offensive line we did last week. I don't need that. I don't need
It'd be helpful.
it. It would be incredible. I'd feel really good about Stoops'
Well, with the
chances.
injunctions, we can just get Cross back here anyway.
We could, but he's making, I don't think State's NIL is willing to pay him what he's making with the
Probably
Seahawks.
not.
Same with Elton Jenkins as
Yeah.
well. But what I would say is, I don't need that. I don't need an A-plus, five All-American offensive line. I just need like a C-minus. Because last year was an F.
Yeah, last year was bad. The
And
year
yeah.
before that, it was even worse.
Well, what was funny about the year before that is they got better as the year went along. If you go back and watch State, they ran the ball really effectively. Incredibly, the last like 4 or 5 games of the season, they were able to move the football. The only game they didn't really was the Egg Bowl, and nobody ran the ball on that Ole Miss
Nobody
defense.
played well that game.
Well, I was gonna say like that Ole Miss defense with Nolan and Emmanuel Ellick,
Yeah.
nobody ran the ball on them.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a problem that they didn't. But against Tennessee, Missouri that year, I forget who else they played late.
Arkansas.
Arkansas, A&M, they ran the football pretty effectively in those games. Last year, that was the opposite. The offensive line got worse as the season went
Oh,
along.
definitely.
And so, yeah, if I give last year an F, if I can get to C minus, think about State's offense last year. It was still okay. I mean, it was okay.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And so if I
They
can
had
get.
moments. Texas, they did not lose that game offensively.
No, they didn't lose that game
That was
offensively at all.
everything else.
If they can be okay after being. If they're that bad last year and I got what I got offensively, okay should be a massive step forward.
Agreed.
Like 38 points per game kind of thing,
Okay.
Well, I mean, they were what, close to 30 last year, right? Can
Yeah,
I get another
yeah.
touchdown a game?
Just don't look at what they averaged on defense.
No. Well, I think that's going to be better too, and I
I
think
agree. I
that
agree.
you're going to have the ball more. So there's a lot working in Mississippi State's favor offensively. So with Bothwell, I do believe that, is he going to be an all-SEC back? No. Lacy, Hardy, assuming Hardy comes back healthy from the gunshot, which I assume he will. Plus, there's just going to be other backs that have,
Florida,
what,
Baugh,
Ball down at Florida.
Texas.
What's his
Forgot.
name? The kid at Georgia he had a big Sugar Bowl, and then they stopped giving him the
Nate
ball.
Frazier?
Frazier,
Yeah.
good player. I mean, there's just guys all over the place. Is Moss back at Texas A&M? He's not, is he?
I'm not sure. I know
It's a good thing we have this.
I know the conference is loaded with backs this year
No,
though.
he's in the pros now. Yeah, I mean, there's guys all over the place, so it's not going to be an issue if Fluff Bothwell's not first, second, third.
No.
He can be. He's going to be a very effective running back for Mississippi State this year, and a big player. So, all right, next week, I think what I want to look at is we Anthony Evans. got the comedian playing wide receiver for Mississippi State. Anthony Evans kind of locked in for Mississippi State. Let's talk about the two guys around him. You know, is that going to be Sanford Francisco McGee? Is that going to be Marquise Johnson? Is that going to be Zion Ragans? Is that going to be Aiden
Aiden
Williams?
Williams.
That's the game we'll play next week, trying to figure out the other two as we know what we have at the slot position for Mississippi State. All right, let's move into this interview that's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District. It was Wing Wednesday. I don't know if you they tweeted out a picture of a mound of wings. That's what I'm going to make you eat. You have to eat
Okay.
them. It's gonna be like
You don't
this
have to
high.
make me do
Oh
it.
yeah,
I
I,
will do
no no
it.
you oh yeah. I'm gonna have to push you through.
Guys, I think he's still a little butthurt,
I'm
though.
not, first off,
You wouldn't say it like
we
that.
don't use that word on this show. All right, that's the word we don't use. That's the word we don't like.
Why?
I just don't like that word.
Okay.
It's one of my
It,
trigger.
and
It's one of
also,
my trigger
you
words.
don't like losing either.
Well, nobody likes losing. Who likes losing?
Losers.
Browns fans,
Yeah.
maybe. I
The
don't.
Reds.
The fans don't like it. The Reds? What a random pick. The Reds were in the playoffs last year, weren't they?
That's a good question. I
Man,
don't know.
they've won a World Series in my lifetime. So.
They're not winning anything right now.
No, they're not. I'm a Giants fan. What can I say? I
Yeah.
can't say anything. We've made a terrible mistake. It's not a mistake.
Oh my gosh, I forgot. Yeah, you guys have.
Vitello.
Ew. Yeah.
Ew.
He'll be the next coach of Arkansas.
Very likely. Very likely. So. Hey, speaking of Arkansas, their mascot is a pig. They cook pigs at Two Brothers Smoked Meats. I was trying to segue it back there. If you want to enjoy some great food today, make sure you make a trip into the Cotton District to Two Brothers Smoked Meats for some smoked Southern soul food. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for over 50 years. If you're looking for a new copier, printer, computers, laptops, whatever it is that your business needs, they've got it at Advantage Business Systems. And they're going to have it you taken care of long after the sale is made. If you are looking for great, great business technology, call my friends at Advantage Business Systems, 601-362-9192, or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Oh, that's a good hire. Okay. You remember Kyle Cheeseborough? Were you here with him? He got
Where'd he
hired
go?
by, he's at USM. He's their new recruiting coordinator.
Wow.
That's a good hire for them. Cheese. No.
Didn't even say anything.
You didn't immediately react. So that's a
Aha.
yeah. It's too late. That's a no.
Okay,
It was a
sure.
little bit of an obscure one, but I feel like you should have gotten it.
Okay.
So
What's it, now you gotta tell me where it's from now.
old school.
Man, I've seen that movie
You
too.
weren't there though.
Dang.
Cheese. You don't
What
remember?
part is that in?
That's where Jeremy Piven's character is first coming to tell them they can't live in the house. And he's
Oh.
like, they called him Cheese.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Cheese. Yeah. So,
Yeah, I'll take that one 'cause
it's an
I've
L.
seen that movie. That's too bad.
11-9. 11-9, you're
That's too
down.
bad.
It's all right. We still got your
A
whole life in front of you to
long
catch up.
season.
You're fine. You're fine. Yeah.
Maroon and Co.
Is that where we were? Okay, Maroon and Co. is the place to go if you're looking for Mississippi State gear here in Starkville, in the Golden Triangle. Nobody with a bigger, better, or wider selection than our friends over at Maroon and Co. Everything maroon and white, everything Mississippi State at Maroon and Co. Use our promo code THUNDER15 to save 15% off regular price. Some exclusions do apply. Before you go to your next Mississippi State game, before you go to your next 4th of July cookout, and you want to rock some maroon and white, Maroon and Co. is the place to go. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo is the place for everything that makes a man's life easier. That's right. Maybe not marriage counseling, but
Oh, jeez.
other than that, I don't know, man. I don't know. You go in there and you ask to speak to somebody, maybe they got something. I haven't asked. But if you are a man about your yard, if you're about cooking out, if you're an outdoorsman, if you're a repairman, whatever you want to do, Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden has ideas for you. And right now, John Deere mowers, compact tractors, Gators, there's great financing available on all of those items. John Deere, Scruggs, they are the leader in John Deere here in North Mississippi. So if you're looking to buy a John Deere mower or tractor right now, go see my friends at Scruggs. Scruggs Farm, Lawn, and Garden in Saltillo, they have what you want for less. Landowners in the state of Mississippi, Good Hope Land and Timber. That's the name to know and the name to trust, more importantly. If you're already a landowner and you need help managing your land, your resources, your timber, a quick phone call to Good Hope Land and Timber can put you in touch with people who know what to do. Experts in their field, make them experts in your field with a quick phone call. And if you're trying to buy or sell land, Good Hope Land and Timber can certainly help you with that purchase. Give them a call today, 601-442-9888, or visit them online at g-hope.com. Locally trusted, landowner approved, Good Hope Land and Timber. A little breaking news here, and it involves us playing a song.
Creighton, 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 Creighton. Creighton, 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 Creighton.
We're going to talk a little recruiting here from the baseball perspective, but from a football perspective, Mississippi State picks up a commitment from four-star defensive lineman Jaden Bayonne out of the state of Louisiana, which, okay, we'll see how that goes. From Alexandria, Louisiana, chose the Bulldogs from offers from Kentucky, TCU, Syracuse, and Oklahoma State. In a year where Mississippi State has kind of missed on the in-state defensive lineman, to be able to go out of state and get one is kind of a needed thing for the Bulldogs. So that commitment just came down. Apparently he committed live on their Rivals is doing a big thing today where they've got some different prospects on and they had them all commit, and so he just made that commitment literally 2 minutes ago.
Wow.
as we're recording.
Wow,
so,
live
breaking news. Yes, yeah. So rated as the number 13 prospect in the state of Louisiana, the number 45 defensive lineman in the country. I said a pretty decent list of offers in terms of, you know, Power Five. I'll add Arkansas, Florida, SMU. UNLV. Yeah, they offered him as well. So some good offers. State needs defensive linemen. That's a good pickup. You certainly can't hate on it. So a good pickup. State, you know, we'll see. I've talked a little bit about recruiting, Carlo, you and I have, and, you know, it's not where they want it to be. But after what happened last year with Braylon Womack and Micah Nickerson, I'll wait it out. I'll see what happens in December.
We'll see.
And, you know, honestly, if things don't go well, might not matter anyway. Because it might not be Jeff Lebby making those
decisions. Yeah, that's very true.
The other side of that coin is State has a massive year, and things could totally flip around. I'll wait it out.
Recruiting is, unless it's, you know, the week before you report, it doesn't mean anything.
I tend to agree. I tend to agree with you. Now, from a baseball perspective, the guy that a lot of Mississippi State fans were hoping to end up with, Thomas Allen, the pitcher from Louisiana Tech, committed earlier today to Mississippi State. This is a guy that, as soon as he went in the portal, you start to be like, that's a guy State should get. They should push for that guy. And early on in the process, it did not appear like Mississippi State was truly a contender. You were seeing Arkansas thought they had a good shot at him. I know that he visited Ole Miss. Being from Louisiana, there were some talks about him going to be staying with LSU. Mississippi State did a good job of keeping the recruitment under wraps. I don't think people even realize he visited here, talking to some sources. But he did. And now he's the piece of this portal class that we've been talking about, a big-time arm in the bullpen. I think he comes in and will push to be one of State's closers, one of their high-leverage guys out of the bullpen. And then, you know, he's just a freshman, so he'll be a sophomore next year. Next year, possibly looking at him and Jack Bauer at the top of the rotation. This is a right-handed pitcher who throws, you know, mid to high 90s, great numbers coming out of Louisiana Tech, and this is the kind of piece Mississippi State needed to add to its bullpen.
We talked about how we called it. They're going to add another guy in the bullpen. And it also follows the same kind of pattern they've been doing where it's, you know, freshman, sophomore guys that are going to be here. So now they have four first-team all-freshman All-Americans from Baseball America. They've got four on the team next year.
Four, yeah. Obviously, Parker was one.
Overbeek.
And then adding Kretzmann, Overbeek, and now Thomas Allen.
They've got four of the top guys from that class.
And that not only is that a great thing for this year, but that's a great thing for 2028 as well.
2 years out of all those guys.
Yeah, all of those guys will be here in 2028. So you're talking about 2 years where the expectation is going to be to compete for the national title. No questions asked. So the stats for Allen are pretty impressive. He was 5-3, 3.54 ERA, 48 innings pitch, 49 strikeouts, only 15 walks. That's a great thing. WHIP was 1.014.
And that's his first season in
college. He's a true freshman.
Yeah.
True freshman. Don't have the game logs for him, I don't think. No. But as you just mentioned, a freshman All-American. So now State with four freshmen. I mean, that's a crazy stat when you think about it.
Pretty good.
You know, but that's I don't know if that was just strategy by O'Connor and staff. They were like, hey, let's go get some really highly touted true freshmen so that we can get 2 years out of them, as opposed to maybe trying to get some more juniors and seniors.
I would think so.
Well, I mean, it makes sense, but at the same time, you know, you got to think you just take the best guys available, and maybe this was just the way that it the cards fell for Mississippi State. I don't know the answer to that. So, but it's a big addition for the Bulldogs. Thomas Allen, like we've been saying, they needed another arm in that bullpen. This portal class has Mississippi State locked and loaded to be preseason top five for sure, and could easily be the preseason number one team in the nation.
Yeah, they'll be up there again for sure. So. They were this year.
All right, let's go down to that interview. Before we do that, real quick, want to let you remind you guys about the official apparel provider of Thunder and Lightning. That is Section 103, section103.com. Great selection of MSU polos, T-shirts, hats, and memorabilia. You definitely want to check it out, and you definitely want to use our promo code TL10. They'll take 10% off. The polos are only like $85. You know, you see a lot of these high-end polos now. They're $120, $130. So $85, and then we're going to take 10% off right off the top for you. So that's a really great deal on a really comfy polo. I have got my new State Script maroon polo. Super comfy. It fits me real good. The sizes go up to 4X, which for the first time in my life, Carlo, I'm like, oh, I don't have to go to the biggest size. That's good times. I can go down a size. That's good stuff. I like doing that. But they go up to 4X if that's what you need to do. And they're cool shirts. They're comfy. Carlo just got his new M over S polo.
Yeah.
Looks really sweet. We'll have another shipment coming in soon enough to show off. Check it out. Section103.com and use our promo code TL10 to save 10% off your first purchase. All right. We go now to this interview with Wilson Alexander of On3 Sports. As you know, a lot of ads here. Apologize for that, but you know, it's just the way it all works out, guys. All of our interviews here on the podcast brought to you by our friends over at Allura Modern Wellness. Again, I checked out that Escape robotic massage. I think you guys will be interested in that. I mean, I felt really good when I left. You know, I walked in. I've been having a lot of lower back problems lately. I felt better when I left, and that feeling lasted with me all day. And so if you're a person that's, you know, a little, you know, maybe you're – just think, you know, I don't want to have another person's hands on me. I don't know. Let a robot do it. You know, they're doing everything else. We got AI for everything else. Why not one for a massage there? It's a great, great atmosphere. People at Allura Modern Wellness are so super friendly. They'll get you taken care of. And they got a lot of other great services as well. So whatever it is that you feel will make your body feel better and help you on the way to recovery, Allura Modern Wellness has a service for that. AlluraModernWellness.com. You can book all of your sites, your services right there. Let's go now to that interview with On3 Sports National College Football reporter, Wilson Alexander. Been on the podcast many times when he covered the LSU Tigers. I believe this is Wilson Alexander's first go-around with us as a national college football reporter for On3 Sports. Wilson, welcome back to the pod. And you were in Thibodaux, Louisiana this past weekend, and you saw what many people are calling at this point the Kamario Taylor show. Those of us here in Starville, we knew kind of what we've got up here with Kamario. This was a lot of people's first real look at him. Just your first impressions of the Bulldog quarterback.
Man, the arm strength is impressive. That was the very first thing. It's just like, what's great about the Manning Passing Academy is that although you're seeing a really limited sample size, you're watching a lot of top quarterbacks throw next to each other. And so you can see one after another, okay, who's got maybe a little bit more zip on the ball? What does somebody look like mechanically next to somebody else? And Kamario throws the ball harder than anybody there. Like there was, you could see it right away when they were just doing like 10-yard curls. And then especially up to the point where they're doing 65 to 70-yard goes, where the ball is just coming out of his hand effortlessly with so much zip behind it. That was the thing that really caught, I think, mine and everybody else's there attention right away. It was just the arm strength.
And then did you have a chance to speak with Kamario? What did you think of him as just more of a person?
No, I didn't get the chance, unfortunately.
Okay. Well, we'll move on from that. I had another question along those lines, but we'll skip that. When you think about Mississippi State this year, what you saw from Kamario Taylor change your thoughts about what the Bulldogs can be as a team this year?
Possibly so. I mean, when you've got a quarterback like that who's 6'4", 230, and you know he's mobile too. It certainly makes you think like, okay, is this team going to go compete for a championship? Probably not. But can they be a bowl team? Like that feels possible in the realm of possibility. I mean, after you know a couple of losing seasons here for Mississippi State, like with a quarterback with that kind of upside, it feels like that starts to become part of the expectation maybe for this season. Do you feel like that's reasonable? That's where
I
I sort
do.
of start to see it for when you if he can continue to develop, because like you look at last year and those two starts at the end of the year, he's got to continue to improve. The completion percentage was not nearly high enough. All those sorts of things that need to get better at just playing the position. But when you have the traits that he has in a full off season to develop them, knowing you're going to be the guy, that feels like that should be putting Mississippi State into at least a bowl conversation.
Yeah, the way I've been putting it is if you have a good quarterback, and I think we can set a baseline of good for Kamario Taylor, and you're not awful defensively, and I think with Zach Arnett here, you're probably not awful defensively, you should be a bowl team. I mean, that feels like a very reasonable expectation. Outside of Kamario, who were the other standouts for you at the Passing Academy?
A few, one of them right there in the state of Mississippi, Trinidad Chambliss, looked really good. I mean, it's just impressive seeing a guy who's not that tall at like, I mean, I think they list him over 6 feet and there's, I doubt that he really is. But he gets so much explosiveness out of his lower half. I can't take credit for this comparison, but Cooper Petania from CBS Sports said he looks kind of Russell Wilson-esque in that regard.
That's a good
And as
comp.
soon as he said that, I was like, yeah, I can kind of see it in a way. He's probably got a little bit more elusiveness maybe than Russell Wilson. But he still, that just the way that he uses his lower half and his throwing motion kind of feels like the appropriate comparison. And he gets so much explosiveness out of that where he makes up for the size. And so I was impressed with Trinidad. I was impressed with CJ Carr from Notre Dame because he like lulls you to sleep. It's so repeatable. One, just so consistent with what he does and his throwing motion and his mechanics, in a way that, again, like I said earlier, you can see that next to everybody else where some guys might have a hitch or something like that. Like his is just really fluid. I was impressed with Jon Mattier. I
The
don't
big
know,
guns.
maybe yeah, right. The ripped bodybuilder playing quarterback, right? Part of that might be influenced by the fact that I got to talk to him for a while before, during the camp and sort of him explaining how last year was like trying to throw a baseball without two fingers. You know, how he slipped into that sidearm release because he kind of had to. He was trying to compensate for that broken thumb. But he looked like somebody who was really confident in what he was doing, good command, good zip on the ball. I liked that his mechanics and his throwing motion looked a little bit more natural again. And so those would be a few. I could probably just keep rattling off
Yeah.
names, but those are the ones that probably first come to mind.
So when we look ahead, you know, we're gosh, just 3 weeks away from SEC Media Days. When we go down there and we're wanting to vote for the SEC, all SEC team, I feel like Manning and Trinidad Chambliss are going to be your top two guys. They'll be your first team and second team guy. Mateer, Stockton, you know, Marcel Reed. Who's the third best quarterback in the SEC?
Oh boy, that's a great question. I hadn't given it all that much thought, and I think that's like really the race throughout the year. Who is that third? Because we don't know anything about really like how Sam Levitt's going to do,
Right.
but he's probably in that mix based on the prior production at
And
Arizona State.
a year ago, we were all just off of one drive and one game, we were all on the Austin Simmons train.
Yeah, now you got him at Missouri. And so is there anybody else who would need to be in that conversation? Like,
Stellar. I mean,
I don't know
we're
if
forgetting the guy who was the
Byron
first
Brown
team
at
guy last
Auburn or.
year. It's Sellers.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that's right. He just did not have a good year last
Yeah.
year. So, okay. But yeah, because of that, I wouldn't put him in that mix.
No, I
So
wouldn't
I
either.
would say, okay, so we're trying to choose from like Mateer, Stockton, Marcel Reed. For me, watching them, I got to see all three of those guys at the Manning camp. And the one that I was most impressed with was Mateer. Now, this is a limited sample size.
Right.
It doesn't account for everything like running an offense and decision making and all those things. But like the arm talent I liked probably the most from him. But Marcel Reed, we know about his athleticism. So I would probably go one of those two. I don't think that I would put Gunnar Stockton in that mix necessarily as like the third best in the SEC, but he could very much prove me wrong. I mean, he had a good year last year. It just like the arm talent didn't really jump off the page for me watching him up close the other day.
So you mentioned something a second ago with Sam Leavitt. I'm in a weird place with LSU. I think they're going to be really, really good, probably a college football playoff team. But I'm not entirely sold on Sam Leavitt, and I think part of that is because I watched him play against Mississippi State 2 years in a row against the worst defense in the SEC. He was bad in both games. Their running game is really what carried them. How, you know, but Kiffin has that reputation. He's a quarterback whisperer. How good can Leavitt be in year one down there?
He can be top 10 quarterback in the country. If the offense is able to, you know, support around him, if he gets good offensive line play, if they have a running game to complement, so it's not all entirely on his shoulders. We've seen what Lane Kiffin and Charlie Weiss, who also deserves a lot of credit, can do with quarterbacks and in this system. And there is it's kind of a matching of skill sets there that feels appropriate with Sam Leavitt's running ability. So I think that he could end up by the end of the year being top 10 in terms of production, certainly. And the other thing, but it all depends on in large part on that foot, you know, how much time has he really had to learn this thing and practice this new offense that he's in and mesh with these teammates, all these new wide receivers. Like it could take a little bit of time in the season, potentially, maybe not, but potentially to kind of like bring everything together. But I think that's the ceiling. But the floor is probably much lower because of all those factors too.
In the state of Tennessee, you've got maybe two true freshmen are going to be starting at Tennessee and Vanderbilt, with Faison at Knoxville and, of course, Curtis at Nashville and Vanderbilt. What about those two guys? Can they? I don't think anybody can replicate Pavia. I'm interested to see what happens there. Tennessee is one of the great enigmas in the conference this year. What do you expect from those two kids?
Ooh. Well, probably like any freshman quarterbacks, ups and downs. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're going to have some moments where you want to see moments from the two of them where you don't expect perfection, but you want to see like, okay, are they showing you things that they can build on? Are they giving you moments where they can continue to improve and where you can see the future, see the potential? That's probably what I expect, is some ups and downs and probably like, you know, welcome to college football moments where they do something that they really should never try to do again, or they make a bad decision, or, you know, throw three picks in the game or something like that. So yeah, I would probably expect that kind of typical, you know, freshman quarterback season. I doubt that either of them, even though they're very talented, will just come in right away and light it up.
I want to talk a little bit about Mississippi State. I think that people like you, not that there's anything wrong with you. We love you, Wilson, but you cover Mississippi State, you know, at a macro level, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you see Jeff Lebby as a coach who went from 2 wins to 5 wins. You're like, that's good improvement. They had a chance to win 7 or 8 games last year if you watched the games. Then you have someone like me who watches every snap of every game as part of my job, and I see a coach that I just don't believe has the right ideas in the right moments, is the way I would put it. What is your expectation of Mississippi State this year as a national media member?
I haven't fully formed it yet, frankly.
You're not alone. Trust me. Trust me.
Because, you know, I do want to see, like, okay, how does that defense look under Zach Arnett, to your point earlier? And what kind of, you know, game-breaking ability does Kamario Taylor have? And can they make up for maybe some of those things that you're talking about with Jeff Lebby? And also, as a young, like, coach, like, can he continue to grow into that role? So I feel like, kind of circling back to what we were talking about earlier, like I guess my broad expectation would be like they need to be they need to make a bowl game. Mm-hmm. Like to in order to show progress in the program, to go from 2 to 5 wins, like you now need to get to 6. You need to make a bowl game. And you need to maybe have, you know, there's a nice win over Arizona State last year, but like you probably need like some, like a big SEC win.
Yeah,
somewhere along the way, knock off somebody would probably be like continue to show those steps moving forward. I don't expect Mississippi State to, you know, just come out and explode and win 10 games. But like if you can win 6 and maybe be in the mix for, if things go your way, for 7 and maybe even 8, mm-hmm. 8 might be a little ambitious, but like 6 or 7 wins.
Yeah. Well, so that leads to something I've been saying. You know, I feel like Cignetti ruined new coachings. Like new coaches have to hate Kurt Cignetti. Because the thing I keep saying is, if Kurt Cignetti can go to Indiana and in 2 years win a national title, why is it unfair for me to say in year three at Mississippi State, Jeff Lebby can win eight games, not be in the playoffs, maybe just be like a low top 25 team? Is that an unfair expectation in this day and age of college football? Is the Mississippi State situation somehow unique?
Like, it feels like it should still be like a, like, I don't know. I have these two competing ideas because it's like, yeah, at most places you should not expect a new coach to come in and have much success until year two at the least, maybe year three. And yet then, like you said, like Kurt Cignetti breaks our brains because Indiana was the losingest program in college football history.
Maybe he's just an outlier. I don't know.
Yeah. And that's very possible. But we've also seen some other, you know, roster flips that have led to kind of quick success. And, you know, I think about, you know, there's all sorts of examples, really. But you're still with the Mississippi State. I'm competing ideas because I'm going to say, like, oh, well, Mississippi State's kind of been at the bottom of the SEC for a long time. Well, so was Indiana in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
So, like, it's possible. You just have to get – you have to get the right guys.
Yeah.
And you kind of might – maybe have to kind of hit lightning in a bottle at times. Like, you have to really hit on your evaluations. Indiana is so well coached. That's what opposing people say all the time is, like, man, they're always in the right positions. Like, you have to do a lot of things right. But because of what is possible now with – turning over a roster in a quick period of time. Yeah. I think within what used to be the benchmark of year three, like you need to see progress, like that should be year two. Mm-hmm. Like it all gets moved up a year for sure. At the very least a year.
In defense of Lebby in year two, he did go from 2 wins to 5 wins. And if, like I said, if you watch the games, they could have beaten Tennessee. They could have beaten Florida. They could have beaten Texas. So I always say that about Lebby. It's like, if he could have just won one of those games, the discussion surrounding him and Mississippi State is just completely different. But unfortunately, he didn't win those games. And so that's just kind of where we are. Wilson, really appreciate your time today, man. And I will definitely be talking to you again this season.
Thanks for having me.
All right, thanks to Wilson. Appreciate him and his time and talking about Kamario Taylor and what he saw at the Manning Passing Academy. Tomorrow's show, we go back to school. Mr. Barone, you need to have done your homework and you need to be able to answer the question, who are State's best wide receivers by the time you come into my classroom tomorrow?
Okay.
Do you understand that?
Yes, all right.
Sir. I will not take, I haven't done my homework for an answer. I'm not going to take that from you. All right. But we will be talking about defensive linemen tomorrow on the show. And then also opponent preview. We got to get the Vanderbilt Commodores done. Aria Gerson of the Tennessean in Nashville will join the podcast to give us a preview of the Commodores. Talk to you guys tomorrow for Carlo Barone. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.